I'd like to ask you to please stand and read the scripture for me today. These are the last verses of Luke. We've come to the end of our look at Jesus, another look at Jesus. So the last four verses of Luke, chapter 24, verses 50 through 53. Please read with me. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. It was August of 1998. My year sabbatical in Lebanon was coming to an end. Two of my closest friends from college said, "Look, this has been a great year for you. We want to come and see you there." I said, "Fantastic. You're going to come to Lebanon?" "No, our wives won't let us come to Lebanon. That's a little too dangerous. But we'll meet you in Jerusalem." "Okay." And again, this is 1998. One of my roommates, pretty hotshot guy, he says, I'll make the arrangements. I'll make the reservations, and we'll be all set." So, "Wow, how are you going to do that from Palo Alto?" "Oh, don't worry. There's the internet. I'll use the internet." And so back in 1998, he got a hotel right on, this is the Mount of Ascension. That's a former church that's turned into a mosque. And our hotel was going to be right next to that spot. And as I kept thinking about it, I'm taking a taxi. I flew to Amman, Jordan, took a taxi across the Allenby Bridge into Jerusalem, got to the spot, and I thought, "Oh my, they are going to be in for a rude awakening," literally. And they weren't there when I got there. So I got there, I was pretty tired, it was about 10 o'clock, but they were already, you know, touring around because they were jet lagged. So I left a little note that said, you don't need to set an alarm for tomorrow morning. Everything will be okay. You might get a little bit of a shock, but just trust me, it'll be okay. And so the next, they got in, it didn't wake me up, thankfully. I woke up a little early before dawn and was doing some meditating on scripture, and sure enough, the call to prayer sounded.
Allahu Akbar.
Can you imagine waking up to that? They had never heard it before. The speaker from the mosque was right next to our room. Gosh, poor guys. Literally, our room was right there on the side of the facing the mosque. And that's what they woke up to, was the call to prayer. Now, I was accustomed to it, so it wasn't a huge deal. But the way you are probably a little bit both shocked and irritated and, you know, startled by that, one of them just shot up in bed. Of course, I was awake. It was sort of humorous to watch. Shot up in bed, and it's like, "What? What happened?" It's like, "Relax, this is what I was talking about. Hey, good to see you guys." But I want you to think back. Now, today we celebrate the survival of Armenians. We remember the genocide today. And I want you to think about Armenians. Not just April 24th, but days, months, decades, generations, centuries, they awoke to the call to prayer. Even if there wasn't a mosque in their town or village, things weren't that far. This is what they woke up. How many of you grew up in a place where you remembered being awakened by the call to prayer? Any of you here? Several of you. Our people became accustomed to it. They didn't jump up out of bed. It's like, oh, five times a day they'd hear this, and now it's amplified. But people were trained, loud voices, to cry out the call to prayer. And a call to prayer that was hostile to everything that they believed in as Christians. Yes, there is one God. But he's three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And his prophet is not Muhammad. His son is Jesus, and Jesus is the final word from God. He is the prophet that was promised. See, how is it that our people, for more than 1,000 years, didn't assimilate into a hostile culture that surrounded them, that dominated them? We were an occupied nation for centuries. How is it that they did not assimilate? That's the question. But it's not just them. How is it that we, in the 21st century, are not going to assimilate into the hostile culture that's the mess of our time? See, these verses aren't just the end of the Gospel of Luke. They're a call to us to be like our forefathers, to be like the first disciples, so that we're not absorbed into the consumerism, the obsession with appearance, the fascination with all things smart, phones, tablets, TVs, drones, whatever, you pick it. How is it that we're not going to react to this hostile culture with arrogance or fear or anger or incivility, demanding and protecting our rights? How are we going to be a people that's distinct, but not distinct in anger, but distinct with joy, followers of Jesus Christ? How's that going to happen? Well, I believe it's by looking up. It's by looking up. And first of all, it's by looking up. It's by looking up. To the Lord Jesus. To the Lord Jesus. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. See, it's going to start with a prior commitment that Jesus Christ is Lord. He leads and we follow. Let's say that again. He leads and we follow. We follow him. He is the Lord. He is worthy of our following him. Now, some of us are pretty impressive people. We come from pretty impressive backgrounds. Some of us have pretty incredible and impressive accomplishments. But I want to tell you, he's superior. He's more impressive than you. He is more worthy than you or I to be followed. See, he is our creator. He is wise. Not only is Jesus the Lord of creation, Jesus is also the one who came to earth and has been tempted in every way as we are, and yet what? Without sin. So he knows our lives, and he made it through without sinning. That means if I follow him, maybe I just won't make a wreck of your lives if you're near me, or my own life. See, he's worthy to be followed because he loves you. And he loved you so much that he did what? He died on the cross for you. This is the Gospel of Luke. He's made it so clear, Jesus' love for everyone. See, he's worthy to be followed, not only because he's our creator, because he's been tempted like us, but made it through without sin, that he loves us so much, but he's strong enough to defeat the grave. You feel weak this week? Do you feel like you were lacking a little bit? I'll tell you this, everybody around you felt you were lacking a little bit, at least once. So he's worthy to be followed because he's powerful, he's strong enough, And now he's ascended. That means he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he is ruling over all. We make a mess of our own lives. Imagine if we had to rule the universe. He does that. And he's waiting until the Father puts all the enemies underneath his feet, and then he'll be back. But see, Jesus is Lord. And this is what I love. I appreciate what Badvili told our children. I'm so thankful that I'm Armenian. And I remember Vartanats, and I remember that when they were approached by the Persians that said, you have to worship another god, they said, look, we're happy to submit. You can rule over us. We're not going to fight on that one. But if you demand more than that from us, sorry, we're not going to do that. We will not be coerced to worship a false god. Because who alone is Lord? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Who alone is Lord? Jesus. Jesus is the risen and exalted Lord. And if we're going to be a people that has joy in the midst of a culture that doesn't praise Jesus and follow Jesus, we're going to need to look up to him and settle it once and for all. We're not in charge of our lives. Our families aren't in charge of our lives. Our bosses are not in charge of our lives. The opinions of others are not in charge of our lives. It is whom? It is the Lord Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus. See, we can resist assimilation to a hostile culture with joy by following him, recognizing he is superior and he's worthy to lead and rule our lives. But that's not the only thing. They followed him. He led them to the vicinity of Bethany on the Mount of Olives. But then he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. We also can resist assimilation into our culture by looking up to receive from the Lord Jesus. By looking up to receive from him. Now, some of us are just a little bit more righteous than God asks us to be. We don't want to ask him for anything because, I mean, come on, he's God, and really, am I going to ask? Yes. Do you know that every time you pray, every time you present a request to him, you honor him? Every time you say, Lord, would you please, you honor him because you're coming to him as the Lord. Now, relax. He can say no. He's really good at saying no to the things that don't honor him. And again, that's why we look up to him to receive from the Lord. He gets the final veto on all our requests. Have you not learned that yet? Have we not learned that he can say no? So let that go and start asking. Expect from him. Expect his blessing. He raised his hands, and it's really interesting. Luke wants us, I think, to get the point, because within five or six words here, it says, he lifted up his hands and blessed them, and while he was blessing them, this is the only time we read in the Gospel of Luke of Jesus blessing anyone. Okay? He wants us to get the idea that the risen, exalted Jesus blesses. You cannot ask too much of him. I'm going to say that again. You cannot ask too much of him. What are some of the blessings that the exalted, risen, ascended Lord Jesus offers to them? And I don't know that this is all that he said, but we know this from the rest of the New Testament. His blessings right now, as he sits upon the throne of God, he offers salvation, and we read in Hebrews that he is easily able to save anyone who calls upon him. Anyone, he can do that. Our forgiveness is guaranteed. 1 John 2 speaks of us having an advocate. He says, I don't want you to sin, but if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. That means he comes to God on our behalf and says, I paid the price for Greg's sins. No punishment for him. No punishment for him. He belongs to me. Not just Armenians. A lot of us have this warped idea that when we sin and then we lose our car keys, we think God's doing what? He's punishing me. I'll give you the mic next time, Kim. We think if we get a flat tire, oh, God's punishing me. Oh, I didn't get the job. God's punishing me. Oh, I didn't read my Bible this morning. Oh, no, it's going to... Ah, doesn't work that way. The ascended Lord sits on the throne, and when I sin and when you sin, he steps in our place. I paid the price. That's the fancy, that's the simple way of saying he's the propitiation for our sin. He paid the price so you and I don't have to. Answers to prayer. We're told again in the book of Hebrews, and Jesus even said it in the Gospel of John, ask in my name. He lives to make intercession for you. Do you deserve answers to prayer? Of course not. But whose name are you asking? In whose name are you coming to him? Jesus. In Jesus' name is not just an empty expression that we tack on at the end of prayers before amen. We're coming in his name, and so God, yes, that will glorify me, yes. No, that one won't glorify me. That one does not exalt my son. We come in Jesus' name. We have his presence, and we'll talk about this more in the weeks to come as we enter the book of Acts, but he told them in verse 49 to wait. I'm going to send you what the Father promised, so stay until you are clothed with power from on high. We have his presence, his spirit. So Jesus is now, get ready to wrap your head around an incredible thought. Jesus is now closer to you than he was to the disciples. Okay? He is closer to you right here, right now, by his spirit. And by the way, anywhere than he was with the disciples. He said, I've got to go so you can have the Spirit. It is better for us that Jesus is not walking around on planet Earth right now. Because if he happened to be in Moscow, you're out of luck. You can't talk. Well, maybe you could call him. But by his presence, by his Spirit, he is closer to us now than he could ever be when he was here with the disciples. We have confidence. We have confidence that he's ruling. So we don't have to panic when things don't go the way we want them to. Well, but this happened. Yes. And who's still on the throne? Who? Hey, could you put his title before that, please? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is on the throne, so we can have confidence that things are going to be the way he wants them to be. Now, don't get me wrong. In his ruling, there's a lot of bumps and valleys and, yes, even a genocide. But he still rules, so we can have confidence that in the end, it's going to come through. See, it's the assurance. And there's a song that I heard a couple weeks ago by a woman named Natalie Grant that I just haven't been able to get out of my mind. It's called In the End. And it's a very simple song. I don't like the music. It's banjo. And that's just not my favorite sound, but the lyrics are, there's coming a day the sun will always shine. He'll wipe away every tear from your eyes. Hold on, my brother. Things are going to get better. You're going to smile again because we win in the end. We win in the end because we're with Jesus and he wins in the end. It doesn't look like it. See, what this ascension demonstrates is that the verdict of the people of Jerusalem has been overturned by the one true judge. Jesus is exalted in his resurrection and now sits at the right hand of God the Father ruling. They said, no, you're not our king. We have no king but Caesar. And God said, excuse me, no, he's your king. He is the King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. And we win in the end. We win in the end. And finally, as they looked up to Jesus, they did it together. Then they worshiped him. He's risen. These are good Jews. They know you're only to worship one God. They worshiped Jesus. They finally recognized him as Lord and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. See, if we're going to make it in a hostile culture, we can't isolate ourselves. See, walking with Jesus Christ is not easy. It's not easy. See, yes, he does rule. He offers forgiveness. There's answered prayer. There's hope. There's assurance. But we're not created to follow Christ by ourselves. See, together they returned to Jerusalem. Together, if you or I try to pull off the Christian life by ourselves, even though Christ is ascended, even though we receive the Holy Spirit, if we try to do it by ourselves, it won't work. It will not work because we can't do, oh, but I have the Holy Spirit. It's just me and God. Really, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to see how that's going to work out for you. Because I don't even need to be a prophet. I can guarantee it. You try to walk with Jesus Christ by yourself, you will be face down, not in prayer, but in shame before the end of the day. It doesn't work. Why do you marry a Christian? Because it doesn't work to have a Christian and a non-Christian. Your closest relationship, you're going to be by yourself. Oh, no, but the Lord is with me. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, but I don't like the people at church. I don't have any friends. Sorry. Find somebody. But they're not. Find someone to walk with you in your relationship with Jesus Christ. So you can't do it by yourself. They got back to Jerusalem, and they also did not isolate themselves from the hostile culture. Did you see where they went? Where did they go to worship him? They went to the temple. They went to the temple. They did not, this may surprise you, did you know that they did not start the first Christian church of Jerusalem? Jesus had risen from the dead, he had ascended into heaven, and he did not say, go start a church in the upper room. They knew that the place where you go to worship the one true God is the temple in Jerusalem. Now, when they received the Holy Spirit, we learn that he can be worshiped anywhere. But right there, after his ascension, as he sits at the right hand of God, ruling, they go to Jerusalem. They go to the temple. You remember what happened the last time we were in the temple together in the Gospel of Luke? Remember what they were doing? They were screaming what? Crucify him! Crucify him! Away with him! Then Jesus went to another mountain and he got crucified on the hill that was called a skull. Into that hostile environment, the disciples of Jesus Christ worshiped him with what? With joy. With joy. Remember the last time we heard joy in the Gospel of Luke? Jesus had shown up, they were hiding among themselves, and it says, because of their joy, they couldn't believe that he had risen from the dead. Their joy has been transformed, informed by the truth, and now they're worshiping the ascended Lord with joy. See, your non-Christian friends need to see you. They need to see you. You've got to be close with them. We can't isolate ourselves from the community, from our neighbors, from our family members. We need to be a part of it because they need to see there's something different. Do you love your neighbor honestly? Do you really care about him or her? I mean, as long as they don't water your lawn too much or park their car in your driveway, their fruit doesn't hang over and litter in your backyard, their trash cans don't get in your way. Do you care about them? Are you letting them see that you have a joy that's greater than yourself? That you look up to someone greater than yourself? See, if we're going to make it into the book of Acts, from the Gospel of Luke, if we're going to experience the gospel, we need to look up to follow the Lord. We need to look up to follow him. He is Lord. We need to look up to him to receive from him. We need to look up to him and worship him together. And then we will know the joy of the gospel. Luke ends where he begins. Remember what happens? It's the Gospel of Luke started in the temple. Zechariah was in there. Angel shows up. Oh my. Mary is visited by an angel. Oh my. Chapter 1 ends with Zechariah praising God in the temple. And now Luke ends by saying they're worshiping God in the temple in the midst of a hostile culture. They have joy because they're looking up to Jesus. Amen.